Parshas Yisro.
Shin Ayin Gimel. Yisro was a very interesting man. Rashi tells us that when he heard what had happened to the Egyptians, even though he wasn't Egyptian at all, he was a son of Midian, and thus could have very well been a grandson of Avram Avinu. He was really from Midian. He only lived in Egypt. Yet still, when he had heard what had happened to the Egyptians, he had goosebumps, according to Shmuel. Rav seems to argue that he immediately took a knife and gave himself bris milah. Because Malkuk is Rav and Shmuel, if he did something good, constructive, and gave himself a bris milah from what he had heard, or if he had had goosebumps, according to Shmuel. What's strange is that Rav then says in the Gemara, we see from here that one should never make fun of a guy in front of a ger for the next 10 generations. So, 10 generations, by the way, as a side point, the people at that time gave birth at the age of 8. This was 80 years since he had left Egypt, because he had left right after they had made the decision to throw all the babies in the river, which was by Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was 80 years earlier. So, 8, if you give birth at the age of 8, every generation, therefore, is 8 years. 80 years altogether is 10 generations. And that's what we see from here. Can't make fun of a goy in front of a ger for the next 10 generations. But that's what Rav said. But that's a proof to Shmuel's view. Shmuel's view was that he had goosebumps when he heard what had happened. See, when you see something like this, where Rav is giving a proof seemingly to Shmuel, it usually means that they agree about something, and they're discussing two parts of the same issue. Says the Ksav Zofer, Chassam Zofer's son, Yisro was blown away when he had heard how HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the most powerful nation of that time, especially since he knew how great they were in magic, how they had prepared for this moment that the Jews would leave for years. They prepared for this. They knew this was going to happen. They worked for years on such a thing, and still the Jews were taking them a time. He immediately gave himself a bris milah, and he was upset that he hadn't done so before. He didn't get goosebumps because he missed his old friends. It was 80 years earlier. He realized how silly he was, that he had once hung out with those people. That's why Rav is saying he can't talk about the other nations in front of the Gerim. They realized how foolish they were back then, and they feel bad that they didn't become Jewish earlier. That's the idea behind it. So really, Rav and Shmuel are agreeing. Rav is saying that he took a knife and gave himself bris milah. Shmuel saying he was upset that he hadn't done so earlier. Rav says the proof to all this is that you see you can't make fun of a guy in front of a gear for the next 10 generations because they feel bad about the fact that they didn't do so earlier. They all agree, and Rav is just giving a proof to his own opinion along with Shmuel. Then the neshamos of all Gerim, says Ksav Zofer, are people that wanted to say yes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the other nations and asked them if they wanted to accept the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the other nations, asked them in some way, shape, or form, we don't know how exactly it happened, either through Malachim or through dreams, or somehow there were Nevi'im and Klal Yisrael that went over to them, or maybe it was through Bilam. Either way, there were many people that wanted to accept the Torah, but they couldn't say yes because everybody else was saying no. They kept a spark in their neshamos that eventually led to them becoming Jewish, even if they themselves and through Gilgulim, eventually that neshama that wanted to say yes became Jewish. Mumrim, on the other hand, the ones on the other side, were Jews who never wanted to say yes, but were forced to because all the other Jews were saying yes. They didn't want to say yes. They were sitting at Har Sinai and they wanted to say no, but they were forced to say yes, so they got upset. That's why we put Parshas Yisro before Matan Torah, because all Gerim are somehow connected to Matan Torah, that they should have been at Matan Torah. It's just that their weakness did not allow them to be that. By the way, this idea of the Ksav Sofer that he writes in the sixth Parsha is supposed to be an answer to Rabbi Akiva Eger's famous Kasha. Rabbi Akiva Eger asks the Kasha, he says, why is it that when Jews go off the Derech, it seems that they always hate other Jews? If Jews go off and they become Christian, whatever it is, they want to kill the Jews. But when Christians end up becoming Gerim, they don't give a darn about the other Christians. They could care less what their old friends are doing. Why is it that that's true? The answer is because if those neshamos of the non-Jews that wanted to become Gerim, that those that wanted to accept the Torah, there were people that felt they were too weak to speak up. Feeling too weak to speak up is your own fault. But when you think that other people caused you, forced you to say yes, you were forced to do something, that's something that you have to get very upset about. How I was forced to do this, I feel like I have to do this, that's something that they're upset at all the other Jews about. Later on, Rashi says, do you think Moshe really judged everyone from morning until evening? He says, do you think that Moshe was able to judge all the way, all day long? When would he have learned Torah? How could he have possibly learned Torah all day? Rather, says Rashi, if you judge someone correctly, then it says, if you're a partner of my Sabratius, if you judge Din Emes Lamito, you're a Shutav to a Kodesh Baruch Hu my Sabratius. Now, let's start off, says the Chassam Sofer. It's a strange question of Rashi. When would he have learned Torah? What do you mean? Maybe he did judge all day and he learned at night. Does it really matter when he learned if he had a job to do, which was to judge cases? I mean, what difference does that make? You're learning only for the purpose of doing things, I mean, seemingly, when you don't have that job to do. You have a job. You have to judge. So what difference does that make? And do you think that he judged everyone all day and all night, every day? What cases were there to judge in the desert? It was only today that he judged all day and all night, and was busy because he had been gone the previous 120 days. This was Mimacharas. This was the next day after Yom Kippur, according to Rashi. He had just come back the day earlier with the second Luchos. That's the only reason why he was busy. That's the only reason why he was going on for all day and all night. So what does that mean? When do you think he learned Torah? He learned Torah every other day. And didn't he say to Yisro that I'm teaching them Torah when they came to him to be judged? He was teaching them Torah. So while he was judging them, he was teaching them Torah. So I don't understand the question. When would he have learned Torah? He learned Torah while he was teaching them. Says the Chassam Sofer. Maybe that was the question of the Medrash. He couldn't have judged them all day long, like the Pasuk says, because Moshe himself said that they came to hear Torah from me. So he couldn't have been judging all day. He was teaching them Torah. So how could he have, and here's the question that Rashi is quoting, how could he have been teaching them and learning Torah if he was judging all day? Must be he didn't judge all day. He judged only for a bit. And then he taught Torah the rest of the time. And therefore, it's teaching to be a partner with Hashem. In order to be a partner of Hashem, you need to judge correctly in the morning and the evening only. Not all day. Judge in the morning, judge in the evening, and judge din emes la'amito, and then you become a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not that you literally need to judge all day long. Because even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was judging, was not judging all day long. What was Yisro's real problem, though? Obviously, Moshe knew what the people needed. It's clear he wouldn't be able to judge them all day, and it's clear that they were learning with him. So what was Yisro warning about? Aside from that, Moshe never ran out of steam. He just went 40 days without food and water. It's not like he needed things in order to survive. He was able to go 40 days without food and water. His real problem was more of an issue of how he was judging cases. Moshe gave them the Din Torah. No frills, no chesed. He judged the cases as purely the Torah would say that he would have to do. It would be better, said Yisro, that instead of judging the cases, you may make peace between all the people involved by allowing them to make a pshar, by allowing them to make a compromise. Try to make peace between them. It may be that the din won't be la'amito in this case. It may be that you won't be a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. But shalom should be greater. You should want to do anything in order to make peace. And that's what Yisro was complaining about. Wouldn't it be better, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you made peace between everyone instead of judging them a din emes that makes it as if you're sitting all day and being equal to my sabrachus? Granted, for you that's great, but the people, isn't it better if the people get shalom instead of the ultimate din Torah? Why can't they get a pshara instead? And really, in the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Gemara says that it's better to do a pshara by everybody. That Sanhedrin first should try to do a pshara and make peace rather than doing a din emes lamito. Sometimes it's better to make peace between them, even though one guy is going to lose out on everything he's supposed to get. That would be better in that way. Said Yisro, said Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why they come to me. They come to get a din Torah. If they wanted a pshar, they wanted a compromise, there are many other smart men in Klal Yisrael who could do that on their own. They could figure it out on their own. They could go to somebody else. But if they're coming to me, they want an ultimate din Torah. They're not looking to make a pshar. Said Yisro, that doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't they want to make a pshar? Why wouldn't they want to? Must be they're not doing chesed for one another. They don't want to do chesed. They're not used to doing chesed for one another. They've never been mevater for one another, and that's why they don't want to compromise. So he taught them the derech asher yochuba, which Chazal and Bava Metzia say is a reference to Gemilas Chasadim and everything like it. Bika Cholim, Kaburas Ameis, Hafras Iskala, all those things that Derech Hashem Chuba said. Yes, well, you got to teach them Chesed. How to do Chesed, and if you do so, Gama Omazel Makom Yavo B'Shalom. Then all these people will be able to do Pshara on their own, and they'll be able to make peace. They won't need to come to you for Dinim. They'll be able to come to you just for Torah, because in order to make a Din, they know that the best thing to do is to make a Pshara. That way, they have Shalom between each other, and everything works out better. That's the idea behind what Yisro was trying to say. Now let's go on to a part later on in the parsha. Says the Ishbitzer, a tremendous chop. Normally when people travel to a desert, they camp underneath a mountain so the mountain can protect them from the wind and the sun. Their eyes face outward with their backs to the mountain, looking out for enemies or anything else that might be out there. Here, Bnei Yisrael camped Neged Hahor, which means their backs were to the world, and they were facing the mountain where they were to accept the Torah. Neged Hahor, they were facing the mountain. Their backs were to everyone else. They didn't worry about enemies. They didn't want to see anything else in the world. Their only desire was to prepare themselves for Matan Torah. Their only desire was to look at the mountain and see what they needed from the mountain itself. Then, a very, very strange thing happens. Here's what happens. On day 4, Moshe goes up the mountain and is told to warn the people about 3 things. Number 1, don't be together with your wives. Number 2, wash all of your clothing. Number 3, make a border around the mountain. It seems that he told them all 3 things. To wash their clothing, to not be together with their wives for 3 days, then make a border around the mountain. But then on the day of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu again, go down and warn the people again not to come near the mountain. And Moshe says, didn't you tell me that already? They won't. They're not going to go near there because I already told them to do so. Why would they want to come anywhere near the mountain? The exact wording is the following. It says, "Ayirid Hashem al Har Sinai, Pasuk Chaf, Parak Yud Tes, Pasuk Chaf, Al Rosh Ahor to the top of the mountain. Vayikrash Shem Moshe Al Rosh Ahor, Vayal Moshe. Hashem called Moshe Rabbeinu to the top of the mountain, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up. Vayimar Shem Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Raid Ha'ed Ba'om, go and warn the people. Then Yeharsu Al Hashem Liros. Maybe they're going to break through to Hashem and try to see Him. Then Nafli Menu Rav, and many people will fall, or a rabbi will fall, somebody great will fall. In fact, from this Maisa, Matan Torah, we all know what happens. None of the view was staring at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and trying to get Nanami Ziva Shechina, they were benefiting from the Ziva Shechina. The fact was, we know that wasn't a good thing to be able to do when they weren't allowed to do so. And for that, they were going to be punished. That's Nafal Mimenu Rav, but they did end up falling. They died later on because of what they saw here in Har Sinai. Even the Kohanim that are going to approach Hashem, they should become holy, that they're going to be as close to the mountain as possible. They have to be careful that Hashem does not break through or make a breach through them by killing them for not being ready. Moshe said to Hashem, "Will you come on Laos to Har Sinai? Bnei Yisrael are not going to be able to come close to Har Sinai. Kiyata Yidosa Banu Leim or Hadol Zalmi Kidashto, because you already warned them, saying, don't go up the mountain. And you said, make the border around the mountain and make it holy. Bnei Lev Hashem. Hashem said back to him, Lech Reid Belisat of Aronimach. Go down. You should come up yourself. You and I are with you. Vakwanim Ba'amal Yaharsel Laos Hashem Peni Yifrotz Ban. To God and the people, they won't break through Peni Yifrotz Ban, or they shouldn't break through, because otherwise the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to kill them. But Yerid Moshe." And Moshe went down to the people by Yomer Aleihem, and he told them what HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned them to say. What's going on here? Why in the world would HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first of all, what's the argument between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't have to do it, they already know it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them to go down anyway. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu at? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? What is Moshe Rabbeinu arguing with? What is it? Said the Kedushas Levi of Levi Yitzim Verdichev. Moshe believed everything he heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately. He was on such a high level. He expected everyone else to be on that level as well. The truth is, we're not on that level. And we can sometimes forget and mess up what he wants to do and how to do it. So Moshe was told to warn us not to go up the mountain the first time. He felt, we didn't really need to be warned. Since how could we do such a thing? Even the first time he didn't think we'd have to be warned about going up the mountain. Because why? Why would anybody try to go up the mountain? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do something immediately, you're on such a high level, of course you're not going to try to reach up and try to touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he was told to tell them the second time, he said, he commanded them once before, Hashem. That should be enough. I told them. They know. I don't need to tell them again a second time. On his level, on Moshe Rabbeinu's level, they never would have done such a thing. Because Moshe Rabbeinu never would have done something. How could they do such a thing? But he was told, Lech Reid, says the Kedushas Levi, go down. They're not on your level. That's why they need help. That's the pshat. Lech Reid, he told them. Ve'alisa, and then you'll come back up. They need help because they're not on your level. You're up here, but they don't understand it. You'll see they really do need this help. Go down and tell them again. That's the idea. But if you look at the pesukim carefully, up above, it seems that Moshe never taught the Jews about the mitzvah of Agbala. Hashem really was asking why he didn't do so in the first place. He said, the Igbaltas Am Saviv Leimor. You should make a gbul around the mountain. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain, he said, by Yekanish the Am, he made them holy by telling them to separate from their wives. Yechapsis Moshe, and they washed their clothing. But it doesn't say anything about making that bow. It doesn't say anything about making a border around the mountain. So why didn't he do so? It says the Pinin and Yekar. All of Dor HaMidbar looked to Moshe Rabbeinu to see how to act. When he sat, they sat. When he stood, they stood. Moshe Rabbeinu knew this and realized that as long as he wouldn't go anywhere near the mountain, which was the original plan, that he wasn't going to go up the mountain, no one else would either. So he knew that they were just going to follow him. And if he was going to be down on the bottom of the mountain, no one's going to go past him. So when Hashem then told him a second time to go warn the people, that he should warn the people and not go up, he said, Lo yuchalom lalos ki atah yidosabam. The people can't go up because you warned us, meaning me. They're not going to push themselves in front of me. If you told us, all of us, that we can't go up the mountain, then the people aren't going to push past me, said Hashem. Go down again and tell them. Go down again, because you and Aaron are going to go up the mountain a bit. And therefore they might follow. So make sure they know that they're not allowed to go up at all. And that's Lech Raid. Go down and tell them the Alisa Akavaronachika, because you and Aaron are going to go up. That's why. So to make sure they know they're not allowed to go up at all. Then he knew he had to say something out loud, that he would be going past the borders a little bit, but they were still not able to do so. That's the concept of what he was trying to warn them the second time about. That's a great chop from the Panina Yikaron. So we have three. Our summary altogether is, number one, we spoke about what Yisro had, his neshama, and how he was connected with all Gerim, of what they want from all of, why they're not allowed to find out from other nations, because they feel bad about themselves. Then we said Moshe Rabbeinu judging the people was not really judging, but rather learning Torah with them. And Yisro telling them that he really needed to make sharas and make the people have peace and love with one another. We then said what Moshe Rabbeinu did with the Hagvala, the Kedushas Levi, that Moshe Rabbeinu never would have gone near the mountain. He expected that from Klal Yisrael, Panim Yikarim, that they all followed Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll stop with that. Have a great Shabbos. See you soon.